Praise the Lord this afternoon. Let's open up our Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1. Instead of 4, what else do you want to know besides that you're the Lord's? Amen. What else do you want to know besides that you're saved? Amen. Hallelujah. And if you don't know, that's the only thing you should be looking for. Amen. How can I know that I'm saved? How can I know that I'm redeemed by Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, we plan to answer that question today. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. It's good to see each one that can make it. I believe it's Rogers hiding behind there somewhere. All right. Nice to have you with us today, brother. Sister Brenda and whoever Destiny decided to bring with her today, it's good to have you with us as well. I think it's everybody, all the rest of y'all. I think I'm getting used to seeing you, so that's good. That's what we love. Missed y'all, that's for sure. I love when people love each other. You know, it's a lot nicer going to church when everybody hates each other, you know? So, brother, what are you talking about? Well, get around a little bit. You'll learn what that's all about. So, anyways, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace as be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll stop there. Let me read you another scripture as you're standing. Matthew 13:10 says this, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. This is what I felt led to preach for a little while now, a series on the mysteries of the kingdom. Wednesday was a little diverse from that. Lord led me through there, so if you want to go listen to that, I believe it'll help you. But this is what I believe the Lord is going to take us for a while. Mysteries of the kingdom. And I'd like to preach this afternoon the revelation of grace. The revelation of grace. Let's bow our heads, everyone, before Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every heart as well. Is there a need in your heart you'd like to lift up with a hand? Say, Lord, you know what's behind this hand. And Lord, I believe that you're the only one that can help me. God bless you, saints. Hands all over. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints of God together here this afternoon. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and take the preeminence, that everything else would fade away. Lord, our thoughts, our lives, Lord, without you, Father, it would just fade away right now. Lord, and we'd be able to look up to heaven and see Jesus Christ is still alive. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we not see four walls. May we not see a man talking. But Lord, may we have a revelation that you're speaking to us today. And may it take away the yoke of bondage that the devil's put in our lives. Lord, you that knows the heart of every person that's here, I pray you'd speak right to their needs, Lord, that you'd deliver them, that Satan would be defeated on every hand, Lord, and you'd receive the glory today. Heal the sick, Lord. Save the lost. Restore the backslidden, we pray. And have the preeminence in this service. We all commit ourselves to you. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated, but you don't have to stay seated. Amen. If the Lord bless you real good, that's all right. Go ahead and praise Him. That's why we came to church anyhow. We came to praise the Lord. We didn't come to look at each other. We didn't come to have a good religious ceremony. We came to worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. And worship goes a long way than just raising your hands, though I'm telling you, that's part of it. All right. If you can't surrender to God, well, then you just probably got too much pride still in your heart. You know, I remember when I used to be kind of a stuck up man, you know, I'm too man to cry before God. I'm too man to do this. And then you hit the grace of God and it just all fades away. That's right. Become a sovereign mess and say, Lord, I don't got nothing to have any pride in anyways. If it wasn't for your grace, I'd be dead today. If it wasn't for your grace, I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have a family. I'd have wrecked this up a long time ago. Amen. Just like I was talking to Brother Josiah, every time I get my hands involved in something, I done messed it all up. So I just learned, because we were talking about something else. I don't want to get into that. That'll get on him. But I told him I don't like to think no more. I just like to believe. Like anytime I start thinking about it, anytime I start figuring it out, I'm messing it up because I'm trying to trust in my mind, not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the Word. That's it. We don't need to go digging and making it so hard to find the will of God. It's laying right in the Word. Amen. And God has brought the seals open. God has sent His message. God has given us a voice to show us what He wants out of us. Glory to God. Amen. As Jesus said there, He said to the disciples, the disciples pondered with the way that Jesus delivered His message. Oh my, and they're still doing the same today. Why'd you pick this man? Why'd you say it this way? Why this? Why this? Why that? Why couldn't you do it the way I wanted to? They said the same thing about Jesus. Some people go back in time and tell Jesus how to act like Jesus because they got it more figured out than Jesus did. But Jesus spoke the mysteries the way God led Him to. That's right. He said, what the Father shows me, that's what I do. He said, I don't do anything but what the Father tells me. Our reasoning minds would say, if you saw 1,000 sick people, you should just go through and heal them all. If you got the power, just heal them all, right? But the will of God didn't do that. Will of God bypassed a lot of people and found one man at the pool of Bethesda who was crippled for 38 years, found a man that had a little bit of faith to at least look at Jesus for a while. Glory to God. And he, you know what? He left walking. Glory to God. That's right. I pray you can open up your mouth a little bit and maybe smile a little bit about thinking of the grace of God and the power of God today. Amen. Amen. Don't look at a man. Look for the man. Jesus Christ, because the same God that did that then is alive today. The same God that filled Jesus Christ at River Jordan, He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The same day I received the Holy Ghost, the same voice spoke and did the same to me. It's done the same to every church, of any person in the church of God. You've received the Holy Ghost. You're dead. He's alive. And that's what I want to preach on this afternoon. The revelation of grace. Grace is such a thing that gets misconstrued in so many different ways. But really, brother, sister, that is what Jesus brought us. He brought us the true grace of God, and there's no way of getting in without it. There's no way of overcoming without it. There's no way to even crack a smile in this world without the grace of God. Because just about the time you start feeling good, you realize the devil done lied to you. You don't really own that house. They got it in the contract. They got it. And you ain't even made a payment on it yet for 10 years. Yep. You might not have heard it. I've seen people go this route. I've seen it. Where all they had to do is put that one little line, didn't tell you about it. Before you know it, you're bankrupt. Right. Thought you had a house. You ain't got nothing. Thought you had a car. Some of us still trusting in that stuff. Well, that look, they could take that tomorrow. Yes. You say, I got the deed. That don't matter. They own the land. They got the guns. Yep. That's right. He's like, got the guns, gets his way, right? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach politics this afternoon. But the revelation of grace here is, as Peter was emphasizing to these believers, he says, though you've got the trial of faith, though you've had such a hard time, though you've went through these things, never forget the grace of God that's been extended to you. Amen. It'll give you the peace that you need. He says, we don't see Jesus, but we love Him. Amen. It looks like He's not in my trial. He looks like He's not in my life. But deep down, there's something that still believes. There's something that still knows. It says, yet believing. Let me find that scripture. I don't want to paraphrase this stuff. It's just so good. Whom having not seen you love. In whom? So let me clarify real quick. Well, I ain't talking about somebody still in the world. I'm talking somebody that's in Christ. Amen. In whom? Though now you see Him not, yet believing. Amen. Yet knowing, yet convinced that He truly is the Son of God. Amen. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes. Hallelujah. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Too many people still trying to receive that. Not recognizing that if God has given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is the token to you as a believer. Your ticket's punched. You are in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. You're a redeemed son or daughter of God. It don't matter what a devil's got to say about it. God has spoken.
Amen.
Your name was on the Lamb's Book of Life. And when it was just a thought, now it's become a word. And the devil's scared to death that a group of people are going to actually believe this. Because you'll be powerless. Amen. See, this is the most important revelation for a Christian to walk in, is the revelation of grace. And the devil, if he can't push you, he'll pull you. So we'll get to that here in a minute. It's always the middle of the road. That's right, because you got to recognize we're trying to get to heaven on a one-way street. There's coming this way. It's all that way. And Jesus said it's really narrow. So as much as we want to make it broad, it ain't broad. Jesus said it's a narrow street. He said straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life. We can't pray the will of God out of that. Amen. This is the end time. There's going to be droves going the wrong way. So if you recognize I'm just one of the droves, there's something wrong with my experience somewhere. I ought to stick out as a Christian. I ought to look crazy as a believer. That's right. I ought to look stupid to myself a lot of times because that shows I'm not trusting my intellect. I'm trusting God's. And not just to be silly, but God vindicates it. God comes on the scene. God vindicates that He is the same in my life as He was in Jesus, as He was in Paul, as He was in Brother Branham. The same word still lives today. And if it's not living, something's wrong somewhere. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You've lost the revelation of grace somewhere in your life. Now listen. Paul, in Romans 9, he says this, and I'm going to read a few of these. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil. Are you understanding the context? They haven't got here yet. They haven't done a thing. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Oh, aren't you happy? It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Look, the revelation of grace, and I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit, is it's predestination. Amen. They're the same revelation. The real grace of God is that before there was a world, before there was a sin, before there was a devil, before there was anything, God already had His thought plan. He already knew what He thought. Right, he didn't learn. He never created. It always was. Amen. Don't ask me to explain that. You can't explain where this earth came from. I can't explain where God came from. We're in the same boat, whether you're atheist or believer. We don't know. But this is what God said about it, and I trust Him. Amen. Amen. Before there was anything, there was the Logos, which was the thought of God. It was His Word. It was what He planned to do throughout all ages. And at that time, you were either there or you weren't.
Right. Amen.
Your name was either expressed or it wasn't.
Right. Amen.
And it looks like God's being real partial, but you go read the rest of Romans there. He says, who are you, the clay, to tell the master how to form it?
Amen.
Amen. And the same people have the same rebellious attitude about somebody that they think's lower than them. Who are you to tell me what to do? But then you go trying to boss God around.
Right.
Ooh, glory. Just going to hide behind this pulpit here in a minute. But that's the truth. We're too pride of creatures. Right. We need a home. And there ain't no big eyes, little U's. We're all the same. That's right. We're either in the grace of God or out.
Right.
We either got the Holy Ghost or we don't. We're either born again or we're just pretending.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Neither one have been born, not of works. So here's what I'm trying to get at the start here, is too many times Christians in all respects will try to serve God by works. They will try to do this, and that's why I'm a Christian. I don't do this, that's why I'm a Christian. I do these things, and that's what makes me a Christian. But the problem with that is you never measure up to even your own standard. You never get it done. I'm going to pray it this time. No, you won't. I'm reading this much every day. I don't care. No, you won't.
No. Right.
That's right. And what's the problem is because you left the revelation of grace, so you're taking it on an approach of works, but you'll never be able to do it by works anyways. And if you recognize the real grace of God, the grace of God would produce the works that you're trying to do in the first place.
Amen.
Glory to God. The grace of God, a love for Jesus Christ, gets me up in the morning.
Amen.
It gets me to spend time with Him. Why? Because I love Him. I love Him. I don't have to force myself to go home. I like my wife. I like my kids. I want to be there. If I have to go somewhere else, I don't want to be there. I want to go home. And it's the same with a Christian to the Word of God in any form, in any facet. You ain't got to kick them into church all the time. You ain't got to shove a Bible in their face. You ain't got to say, we have to listen to a tape. There's something on the inside. It says, I want it. I want it. Give it to me.
Amen.
That's right. When that angel said, take the book, John said, get it.
Amen.
And he still said, take it. That's right. You still have to have a hand of faith to take the word of God. He that comes to God must believe that he is. So if you don't believe God is, well, don't. He ain't going to show up. You know why? Because God calls the shots. Just had an atheist guy. I think he's my uncle. Yeah, that's right. Uncle on my mom's side. But he had been in the message. Then he was in a cult. Then he went to a nominal church and got saved. And now there's no evidence, so he's just an atheist and smokes and does everything else. Which, to be honest with you, if the message is wrong, that's where you're going to find me at some time. Because I just sold out, brothers. But I know it ain't wrong. I don't care. I don't want to give you no doubt there. This is the word of God for this age. That's just another evidence, because once you leave it, you go to apostasy. Anyways, he was saying, you know, if there really is a God and you really prove it, man, I'll do cartwheels down. I'll do whatever he tells me as long as he can prove he's real. I said, well, that's the problem. He told you to believe him. And you won't do it. God has fulfilled what you want him to do. Tell me what to do, Lord. He did. Believe that he is.
Amen.
And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But you don't remember that one time I got down and prayed for 30 seconds? Why didn't God hear me? That ain't what the Bible said. God's not vindicated to work on your line. He's not forced to work on your revelation. You're forced to work on his. If you actually get a real revelation of what God has given us, you don't want your thought. Amen. You want his. His is the best way. That's right. Peter thought he had a good idea. Say, Master, you'll never go to the cross. He said, what are you talking about? Get back over there. I'll never forsake you. He said, before you can get to bed tomorrow. You'll do it three times. That's right. You think you're a tough guy? You're a coward, Peter. But when you're converted, when I give you the Holy Ghost, strengthen your brother. That's right. Get behind him. Preach to him. Help them to believe this word. That's right. Jesus had the best way to do it, and it looked like a total defeat. It looked like a total waste of time. There was no works to Jesus' ministry at the end. It was all gone. Where are the miracles, Jesus? You're all washed up. People think that was a glorious thing when he went to the cross. He was a criminal. What would you think if your pastor got locked up? Supposed to be starting, you know, all kinds of things in the community, doing all this kind of evil. They accuse him of all kinds of stuff. Now, they couldn't find no proof to it, but what does that matter in this day? They don't need proof to convict you. They don't like you. Just say something, put it on the internet, boom, get 10,000 likes. You're done. You're gone. Well, if that many people like it, it's got to be true. That's the good point that it ain't true. Because there's a lot of devils out there and a lot of lies. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there you go. That was all free. Praise the Lord. Let's come back here. Grace is the revelation to the church. This is what the message came to show us, is what is God's grace really to the believer. Ephesians 2:8. Let's turn there. Ephesians 2:8, a real familiar scripture. Excuse me. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I'm already going to balance this out. I was trying to keep it to the ends, but you can take grace so far to where you can literally think, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. God to save me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go to heaven no matter what. And if you have that attitude, you've never received the grace of God. Because what we just read there, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that is the gift of God. So without God giving you the faith to even believe his word in the first place, you can't. You can't believe it. Look, and you can prove it right through the Bible. In the days of Moses, they had millions. Watch, all 10 of those miracles happen, and none of them believed it. They watched, they got over, they started whining, saying, Lord, we're so tired of eating his word. Don't you got something a little bit fresher? Ooh, glory. This manna, we're loathed of it. It's the same thing for 40 years. He said, what do you want? We want some quail. So there was quail flying in, two feet or whatever above the air, and they came all laid all over the floor. There you go. Said it was so much that they tried to eat it all, and then it stank all over the place because he gave them so much. Right. See, we think we know what we want, but all it turns into a big stinking mess. That's right. But look, all those, they watched all these miracles. Every time they sought God, any time they'd backslid, they'd fall into sin. They know, you know, so many would die. They'd repent, they'd come back, and then it would all go away. And this all just happened by chance. That's what happened to these people. Why? Because God never knew them.
Right.
Woo, glory. Well, go ahead and offend that legalistic devil all over this place. You're not saved because you did a thing. You're saved because he did it all. Amen. When he said, we need a sin offering, where were you? Where were you to lay your life down? You were like Peter and all the rest of them, scattered like a bunch of cowards. But there was one man who stood up and said, who do you want? They came to the Garden of Gethsemane and they said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I'm he. And they fell on the ground. Why? He was showing that he could have stopped the scene right then. But he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. Amen. He said, I've already told you I'm he. What's your problem? Maybe you devil ain't as tough as you thought you were. Now you're going to recognize I'm giving my life. Amen. When he got to the cross, and we would have been there bickering and yelling at him too. Don't kid yourself. Peter was still denying him. They were all without the Holy Ghost. You're just as bad as anybody else. Because even the seed of God in you is so basked in darkness, there's nothing to be found from it because of the sin that was in our lives. That's right. You walk just like him. You talk just like him. You smoke just like him. You drank just like him. You were just like everybody else. You used the Lord's name in vain. All those things. You had no idea there was a Christian in there. But then the light shone. Hallelujah. That seed that laid there dead and dormant, the light shone on it. Hallelujah. And it came to life. God sent his word and he began to water it. Hallelujah. And then it grew up. And then you recognize that ain't a brick in there. There's a seed of God. Amen. And was it pushed out? Not just anything, but the character of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the grace of God. When we receive the grace of God, it's not because of anything you've done. It's because of what he did, because of what the Bible just said there. If it was based on any work, a man would have room to boast. But there was a time where everyone had their opportunity to go ahead and show how holy they were. In Revelation 5, you'll find out that there was a title deed in the Father's hand. He said, I need a man who's worthy to come take this and open the seals. And there was our opportunity to go take it. There's the opportunity for every atheist to go take it. There was the opportunity for every man who thinks he's something to go ahead and do it. You know what they were all doing? Shivering in their boots. Because when you really come face to face with the presence of God, your pride goes away. If you recognize it's the presence of God, you can't stay a big stuffed shirt. It won't work. That's right. Why do you think all these people that are coming against the message have to do it now on the internet? Where were they at in Brother Branham's meetings? You know where they were? On the floor, epileptic. You know where they were? Getting their sins caught out. And as Brother Branham was discerning this side ran out so they wouldn't get their sins discerned. This ain't made up. This is history. That's right. See, you can't challenge the presence of God when it's here. Brother, sister, go ahead and say amen. That's right. The devil's a wimp. He's defeated. He's got no power. As long as a Christian stays behind the grace of God, the devil can do nothing to you. Amen. Hallelujah. But does that mean there's no evidence I'm saved? Does that mean I'm allowed to be like the world if I've really received the grace of God? No. Read the next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, not good works because you're doing them, but because he's doing them. Which God, now when? When did he decide you were going to do good works? Before you even made a choice. That's right. That, you see how it's just grace all over. Even the works that we do after we see the Holy Ghost have nothing to do with us anyways. It's the grace of God. Amen. We read it's the acts of the apostle, but it's really the acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. Hallelujah. Because when those men used their own mind, they went the wrong way all the time.
Amen.
Well, the grace of God shined on them and they went the right way. Hallelujah. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should work in them.
Yep.
I want you to understand this too. Ordained is a little bit stronger of a word than foreknowledge. God knew all things. That's right. He knows all things. But he's still the creator. And he can ordain that this is the way this is going to be. And he ordained the church to have the works of Jesus Christ in them.
Amen.
Amen. So why do we doubt? Why do we fluster? Why do we act like we can't overcome? You're looking at the wrong picture. Come back to grace. You fall away and Jesus Christ stands.
Amen.
Amen. And the same one that looked legions of devils in the face.
Yep.
Said, what are you doing here?
Right.
Said, what's your problem? Why are you making... He said, what are you doing, Jesus?
Uh-huh.
You trying to torment us? One little frail 5'3" man probably.
Yep.
Standing there, legions of the devil saying, you coming to torment me?
Uh-huh.
Legions are thousands, brother, sister.
Right.
He said, what do you want? He said, can we go in the swine? And all he had to do was say, go. And legions of devils listened to Jesus. We say, well, that's Jesus. This is why Hebrews 13:8 actually needs to be preached still today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So quit missing the middle word there. We all believe he's the same yesterday. We all believe he'd be the same forever. But for some reason, he's not the same now. Oh, you probably, you don't understand my trials. I'm going to be honest with you. If you have to start something with, you don't understand, you're already in unbelief. You're already in unbelief because you're going to make an excuse. You already know. Yes. You know what? And to be honest, no. Do you understand what trials I go through? No. I don't understand what you go through. You don't understand what you're going through yourself. Amen. We don't understand. But God never called us to understand. He called us to believe Him. Amen. Amen. That's right. That greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. So whatever devil tries to get in my life, I don't have to snuck down to it. Not because I'm going to do some work and get out of this, but Christ has already done the work. Christian, grab a hold of that revelation, pull in your heart, and let it live every day. Hallelujah. Don't go around trying to earn it. Don't go try to do something to get it. You have to accept it the way God said, and that's by faith. That you said it, Lord. I believe it. Now, faith ain't up here. It ain't. This is reasonings. Faith's in here. He says it's true no matter what happens. Amen. That's right. We've all had the trial of faith. Praise the Lord. And hopefully you overcame. I don't know. But I know that the devil don't just put up. He fights. Oh, yeah. And God lets him. Yes. Amen. God's got the power to just heal you like that. Sure He does. Of course He does. Right. But sometimes He wants to see if you'll hold on. Actually, not sometimes, a lot of times. That's right. If you want to pray to get healed, look, don't go cowering out of church, not make it here. Get here. Amen. That's right. Get in the presence of God. Show the devil and you ain't afraid of him. Because if you're afraid of him, he's won. Because fear is the devil's motive. See, we think the opposite of love is hate. It's actually fear. Fear creates hate. That's right. You're afraid of people, so you end up hating them. Because you're afraid they're going to hurt you. That's right. That's why Hitler said he killed the Jews, because he's afraid they're going to come kill them. Yeah. Anyways, that was all free as well. Let's just get back where I want. The message of grace. This is 1961. Brother Branham says this. He said, that's what it is, grace, the grace of God. The graces God has brought forth and shed. God brought grace into our lives by His love for us. Here's something else grace can't do. Grace cannot be bought. Grace cannot be sold. So quit blaming the preacher. You don't overcome. Hallelujah. I can't sell it to you. I can present it, but you have to accept it. Amen. That goes for the preacher too. There's plenty of preachers get behind it, ain't got no grace of God in their life either. Right. Amen. They got a gift and callings without repentance. Many ministers are just as miserable as everybody else. They say, well, every other pastor is miserable, so I got to be too. Yeah. What did Brother Joel Forney say? How's he say it? The wowsy wowsy woos. That's right. It's a, if you got that attitude, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how bad it is, but I know one thing. Your eyes are not on the Word. Amen. You went this way. Uh-huh. Towards the devil somewhere. That's all I know. Grace cannot be bought. Grace cannot be sold. It's grace. It's by a sovereign one. Yes, sir. You cannot bargain for it. I've heard too many people come up for prayer trying to bargain the grace of God now. They do. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going to serve Him now. I'm going to serve Him. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do... What are you trying to bargain for? What, you think you got something worth anything to offer God? Look, King Solomon actually did what we would call a really good work. He spent a lot of money, a lot of his effort. It said it took him 7 years to build this thing. And he made a temple for one box to sit in a room. That's what the whole building was for, was so that the Ark of the Covenant would be in the holiest place. And what did he say? He said, what is this before God? What is this? It's not. Why did you say you're going to dwell here? And this is nothing. Because Solomon had a revelation. God is God. Amen. Like, okay, you know, this is a big temple. That's because we're looking from our eyes. If we're looking from God's eyes, He's got the whole world in His hands. So where does this temple? I mean, you'd have to get a magnifying glass to even find it. Amen. And we go bargain with God. Oh, I'm just going to read the quote. I want to make sure you know I'm taking it from the message. I am. That's all right. God set me in. I'm going to preach it. Amen. You can say, God, I'll do so-and-so. If you'll do so-and-so, you can't do that. God won't do it. You can't pull nothing out of God. God gives it to you by His grace.
Amen.
Oh my. Not he that willeth or he that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. That's right. People lay on their face, and some man come to me. I believe I've seen one of the boys back here in the building tonight, a Methodist boy, just come on and receive the Holy Ghost. The boy comes to me and says, "Now, Brother Branham, now that we've been saved and received the Holy Ghost, shall we go seeking gifts?" I said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. God gives His gifts sovereignly. Gifts and callings are without repentance. The first thing you know, you go to seeking something. God, you just make me a preacher. You just do this to me. And what are you going to be? A big stuffed shirt. That's all. You'll go to some man's theology in some organization, and there you'll peel yourself down and canker. Let God do the calling. God will call you. God will sanctify you. God will give you what He has need to give you. Yes, sir. You can't bargain for grace. No, sir, you can't. You can't be sold. It can't be bargained for. Nor can it be bought. Can't be traded for. You can't say, "Well, now, Lord, I'll go join this great big Baptist church, this great big Methodist church, this great big Pentecostal church, this great big Nazarene church. I'll do this if you'll just do this for me." It can't be bargained. No, sir. All that the Father has given me will come to me.
Amen.
No man can come to me except my Father calls him first. You just become a church member of that big church.
Sure.
That's all. You won't be saved. Grace has to save you.
Amen.
Amen. That's what he's quoting from is Zechariah 4:6, where he says, "Then he answered and said, Lord, the word of the Lord Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it."
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to bring this where I'm trying to get today. The message of the hour that God has sent us through His prophet is the message of grace. It's the revelation of grace that God has given. It's the only thing that can bring the capstone down. We're all looking for a rapture, but we're expecting to get it through some sort of work, when the only way we're going to make it is rapture and grace. Amen. The capstone came down shouting. Open your ears up and listen. It's shouting to you today. Grace. Accept my grace. Forget what you were. Forget what you done. Forget what you did today. If some people only could be a preacher for a while, you'd recognize I need the grace of God just as much as everyone else. I go to bed some days and cry my eyes out. Say, "Lord, why am I so pathetic? Why am I such a bad Christian?" And then the grace of God sweeps in the room. It says, "I was never looking at you in the first place." Glory to God. I'm so happy for that. I'm so happy for that. How can you overcome without it? You won't. You won't. You want to live a victorious life? Stay in the grace of God. Amen. Don't make excuses. You're leaving grace then. You're saying, "God ain't big enough for my trial. God can't overcome this." See, you think it's you overcoming. That's the problem. You're right. It's too big for you. It's too big for me. I can't do this. Brother Branham couldn't do this. Why do you think the message even got done? Is because he trusted the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm so happy for that.
Yes.
I'm so happy for the Holy Ghost today.
Amen.
Looking for rapture and faith, and God has sent it. See, this is what I'm trying to say. Rapture and faith is rapture and grace.
Yes.
They're the same thing. Once you've received the grace to get you in a rapture, you have the faith to walk in it, because you recognize, I didn't choose this in the first place. God chose to save me. Oh, hallelujah. If you can't be happy about that, what can you be happy about? Say, "I'm not emotional." Well, then don't go scream at some football game.
That's right.
That's right. Don't get so excited about something in the world. That shows you lack in a revelation. Because you know what's going to happen right after that game's over? Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you like the other team. That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Guess we got to preach on sports. I don't know. I just kind of caught that there for a minute. Hallelujah. I forgot that in the office. Sorry, Mom. I just realized. She bought me some handkerchiefs finally, and I left them in the office. But... never does a team lose. The other team just got lucky. We didn't lose. We just didn't play as good as what we normally do. If we'd have been on our A game, they wouldn't have had a chance.
No way.
Now, I ain't trying to be silly, because people do that in church.
That's right.
Oh, man. we were on the cusp of overcoming today. No, you weren't. Because if you're on the cusp, that means you lost.
Yes.
And you know what? That's a lot worse loss.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd rather get blown out 50-0 first quarter.
Yeah.
Just go out there. Let's just keep kneeling the ball until we run out of time and get this over with.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than struggling, fighting, training, getting out there with a bunch of guys, putting your whole heart on the line. And then at the last minute, you lose by one play.
Yeah.
It's over. You lost. That just... Why? Because you've taken yourself and you've invested into this, and then it failed. See, that's the problem when you invest you into the message of grace. I'm going to tell you right now, you have a 100% chance of failure. Because only one overcame.
Amen.
Only one made it through. Only one was able to go to the regions of the lost, grab the keys, and step out and say, I've conquered it all from hell to heaven. It's all mine. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And the same man took those keys, oh, don't forget grace, and handed them to Peter. A man that denied him. A man that had sin in his life. A man that had done wrong over and over and over again. He handed the keys to him.
Amen.
Said, brother, come on, Peter, go unlock those doors for me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God opened up the prison house. He came through all of our lives and got us to the Holy Ghost. You say, to my life? Yeah, because Peter got this man saved, and that got this man saved, and it brought it to this man, and all the way down to we're sitting here today, saved by the same grace that was unlocked from Christ.
Amen.
That's the message of grace.
Amen.
And the church took it away. The church in the dark age, they took it away from the church. They either made it to where it doesn't matter what you do, just sign our book, that's the grace of God, you're saved, deceiving millions.
Yeah.
Or the other side, well, you did this, you ain't saved no more. If you do this, if you pay this much, maybe you'll be saved. Oh, nope, not this week.
Amen.
You would have been saved last week, but it's over now.
Yeah.
Some people live that way.
Right.
I've seen it right in the church. I've seen it right in the message.
Yeah.
People live that way. Saved today, lost tomorrow, saved, lost, saved, lost.
Yeah.
Either got or you don't.
Amen.
And if you are in the picture, I can't say this enough, you don't have it yet.
That's right.
The picture of the grace of God doesn't have our flesh in it at all.
Amen.
It is God's sovereign grace.
Amen.
Now, this grace had been hidden from the church. As we said, the Catholic Church was the first step away, and they just went further and further and further and further. We understand these things. But God promised to bring it back to the church. He promised at the end of time that it would come back. Brother Bram says that in the first seal, 1963. He says, but think, now he wrote this. But when he started to write those seven thunders, he said, don't write it. He said, he'd be commissioned to write everything he'd seen. But when those seven thunders over in Revelations 10 hundred, he said, don't write them at all. They're mysteries. We don't know what they are yet. But to my opinion, they'll be revealed right away. And when it do, it'll give faith for that rapture and grace for the church to move out. So God did not fail us.
No.
The rapture and grace was there, but we couldn't see it. We couldn't have the faith to even approach it. So we didn't know if God was three or one.
Right.
We didn't. That's why I'm talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. We'll get into all these things. We thought, you know, some people taught the Holy Ghost is this. They taught us that. There's this, is that. It's this, is that. It's this, is that. It's emotion, it's not emotion. It's intellect, it's not intellect. It's just whatever you want it to be. As long as your pastor likes it, sure, you got the Holy Ghost. Come on. But God has sent us a word showing us what it was. Very plainly. Scripturally speaking, the new birth is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. It's what they preached. It's the only thing that'll get you into the rapture. That's right. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, 1964. But remember, the last thing is His divine presence, the Word itself. He is the Word, the head, the Word. It's coming to the body. See, and then that Word in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, said the Word of God is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now take that scripture and run it back from the beginning of the prophets. Run it right down through Jesus Christ and see if it isn't the same thing. The same thing that He is known as the Messiah. Now it's not some man here is the Messiah. It's the Holy Spirit is the Messiah. Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same thing. So here it is now, just working in the flesh, getting the body ready for rapture and grace.
Amen.
Believe it, friends.
Yes.
Quit looking for... We've got... Brother Bram preached time and time again about these latter rain brethren.
Yeah.
Latter rain brethren said, you know, we've come in this last day, and that, you know, there's been no denomination. They tried to start one, he said. He said, but we're at the end of time. And what were they trying to start? A latter rain move. Yep. That God's going to do something big now. That God's really going to pour out the Holy Ghost. God's going to make it to where I just overcome my sins and I don't have to do nothing about it.
Right.
Or I don't have to do any good works. It's just going to happen one day. Poof. The grace of God will make it happen like that. That's right. But it's not a magic. It's not a gimmick. It's not a trick. It's something that you know is real. It's a real conversion to where you ain't got to go around with an eagle belt buckle and a tag that says, I'm a Christian, and say, oh, believe the message, blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm a Holy Ghost and just meaner than a snake and just come. We've got those too. Just don't you be one. Amen. That's all I can say about that. Just don't you be a hypocrite. I'd much rather you just run out in the world and be a sinner than be a hypocrite.
Sure.
I'd rather be a sinner than a hypocrite. I've been all of them. I've been a sinner, I've been a saint, and I've been a hypocrite. I'd much rather be a sinner than a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather be a saint for God.
Amen.
Said a saint? Well, yeah, because you look, you just thought I was talking about me. I'm talking about Christ in me. That's what makes someone a saint. A sainted one is someone that's been sanctified. How have we been sanctified? By the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why can I live like a saint should? Because the saint of all saints lives in my soul.
Amen.
And it pushes out the same life. That's how? Because of grace, brother.
Yes. Right.
Sister, I can't tell you what to do or not to do to get it. You just got to accept it. I can't tell you all the nicks and crannies how to overcome. Everybody wants that out of a pastor. I got this problem. How do I overcome? I got this problem. How to do this? How to do this? And they got, and then you answer, try to do something for them, and they got their next excuse on the list. And by the time you've done it, you're all the way out here, and it just, do you even believe?
Right.
Do you even know what we're talking about? Is God even God here, or is He just an idea?
Right.
Because we could back the train all the way back here and say, just let the Holy Ghost do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bram had a man, he kept bringing up cigarettes over and over again. Kept bringing them up. He said, I can't, brother Billy, I'd get baptized. I served the Lord. He said, but I just can't give up these cigarettes. He said, brother, don't, I don't even want to talk about it. I said, do you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God? He said, with all my heart. I said, do you believe He died to save you? He said, yes, I do. He said, then let's get baptized. He said, don't worry about them cigarettes. They'll take care of themselves.
Amen.
Amen. Because this is, and then you'll have the next man. Let me get this clarified here. This is all, a lot of this has been free today. I hope you're enjoying the word of the Lord. But there was another man, Brother Brandon being discernment. He said, you're looking for the Holy Ghost. He said, but you can't get it because of them cigarettes.
Yep, yep.
Well, which one is it, Brother Brandon? See, there's a difference between a man that's caged up by the devil and a man who willingly likes his cage. And walks around and has no problems being in the filth of the world.
Right.
And says, oh, this is just the way I am.
Yeah.
Brother, you know how long I've smoked? I don't care. I'll tell you right now, you're going to keep doing it because you're not getting delivered.
Right.
But see, the other man didn't want to be that.
Right.
He wanted to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Got down on, see, God really does know your heart.
Yes, sir.
That's the problem people don't understand, is God does know your heart. So if you're just faking it on the outside, just kind of coming up with little catchphrases so I fit in with everybody else, you're not going to get nowhere with God. He knows.
Right.
He knows when you mean business.
Sure.
And that man meant business. He wanted to serve the Lord.
Yes.
That's right. You know what? He got baptized. And I think Brother Branham said within a few weeks, he never smoked again.
That's right.
Amen. Let that take care of itself. But too many times, message preachers and message people can't let the grace of God go nowhere.
Right.
They smoke. They can't receive it. What are you talking about? I don't know why I'm talking about that. Praise the Lord. But anyways, same with women. Oh, they cut their hair. They can't be saved today. Let them get the grace of God and God will lead them to the Scriptures.
Amen.
That's right. Because they won't do it because you said it.
Right.
They'll do it because they love the Lord and they know He said it.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what the preacher thinks. It doesn't matter what the sister thinks. I want to serve Jesus.
Amen.
Not because I have to, because I love Him.
Amen.
It's not a chore to serve the Lord. If it's a chore, you ain't serving Him.
Amen.
That's right. Don't tell me you love God more than He loves you. That's what you're trying to say. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you're, oh, I got to do this for the Lord. I got to do this. You're telling me you love Him more than He loves you because He doesn't do nothing for you.
Right.
God busies Himself over us every day.
Yes.
My goodness, I can't even start to scratch the surface. You know, we don't always write them down. Maybe we should write down more testimonies because we should be able to list this out of the room every week.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's the truth. Why'd I get up today? The grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've learned to thank God I don't got a headache. I thank God my back don't hurt. I thank God I'm breathing good. Amen.
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 Because all it takes is one of them things to go away. And I hear, God, it's so hard to... Well, why aren't you thinking when you were feeling good?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Say, well, that's hard. Yeah, well, bring a sacrifice of praise. That's hallelujah. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Now I'm getting to where I want to end this. Grace is predestination. Grace is is God laid it out the way He wanted it. You know why? Because He's God.
Amen.
And if He's the Creator, He makes it the way He wants to. Now, here's what you got to know, is that He loves you beyond anything you even think of love. It's beyond that. Brother Branham said it this way when he's talking about when Jesus said, I'll go to prepare a place for you. He goes to make that new Jerusalem. Brother Branham said He made it just the way His bride would like. Oh, glory to God. We think we got it figured out, but here, look. Let me give you enough money, you can literally make the house anything you want. You'd be tearing it down in 3 weeks and starting over because you changed your mind. I thought I liked gold streets, you know, but oh, I will in heaven. I know that. But, you know what I'm saying? I thought I liked laminate and I got it down. I don't like it. You know, I thought I wanted carpet. No, I don't like it. Not really the brothers, the sisters. We understand that. But you all caught that, right? I thought I wanted blue there. Next week, you're painting it green. If you had enough money, it'd be purple the next week. Why? Because we don't even know what we want. But somebody does. Oh, glory to God. And if you've got the desire to be a Christian, look, the deep is calling to the deep. You need to receive the grace of God. Don't try to merit the grace of God. Don't tell God what you're going to do to get the grace of God. Accept it.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I love You so much. If there's something that's keeping me from receiving the grace of God, I'm willing to lay it down.
Amen.
And really mean that. Don't put up a front. Don't lie to God. If you ain't going to mean business, He won't mean business with you.
Amen.
He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Diligently.
And what does diligent mean? It really just means sincerely, that you really mean it from your heart, and you can't fake that. At the end of the day, you know what? There are no hypocrites. You will be what you are.
Amen.
The end of the day, you can say all you want to. It's just lies. When it's all pushed aside and the Word of God is going to come at the white throne judgment, the light of the gospel is going to shine, there won't be a hypocrite standing there. You'll either figure out you were a sheep or a goat.
That's right.
Amen. You can only hide in sheep's clothes so long if you're a wolf on the inside. But in this day, God has sent a voice to shine that out. Just let it go. Let it go. I'm not a wolf. What are you talking about? The Bible said before the foundation of the world, I was there.
Amen.
Before anything had got to this world, I was already in Christ because He chose me.
Sure.
And that's what gives me faith for a rapture.
Amen.
This revelation is what got Paul in trouble.
Yeah.
This revelation is what got Brother Branham in trouble.
Sure.
You look, a lot of the doors for Brother Branham were still open. Even after he preached the seven church ages. It was when the seals came open that everything shut down. Why? Because that, as we know, is the third pull. It was the real revelation of what the Word was in this day. And every ministry, when it comes to that place, the masses flee. I can show it to you from Genesis to Revelation. That's right. Moses, we're gonna go out of Egypt, we're gonna go to a promised land. But when it finally came time to get to the promised land, and they recognized, oh, there's giants in the land. Only two believed it.
That's right.
Masses fell away. Noah had a message for 120 years. It's going to flood. 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 And you're bored with us preaching this message? Come on. That was 120 years of the same line. We're going to die. It's going to flood if you don't get an ark.
Right.
Yep.
With all these animals that just decide to file in 1 week.
Right.
And God shut the door a week early.
Right.
He did. Now, He told Noah He was going to do it, but what do you think? That gave plenty of time for the critic to get his piece in. But once the water started falling, it rained for 40 days. I don't think they just died like that, like most people think. It rained for 40 days. I'm sure they had boats. I'm sure they had things to try to survive in. But after 40 days, you didn't hear no more. That's what's happening right now. We're watching every kind of move, every kind of doctrine, every kind of idea fall apart. The only thing that's holding true is what God has given.
Amen.
All the way back, as I said, Paul, as I try to start bringing this to a close here, if you go with me to Galatians 4, the Galatians were the real church that gave Paul the most trouble. If you go reading through the Bible and actually pay attention to what's being said, the Corinthians were doing a lot of wrong.
Sure,
sure they were. They were doing things God forbid we'd ever let that in the church. But when Paul corrected them, they received it. That's why when you go read 2 Corinthians, Paul, I love it. I think it's chapter 8 somewhere in there. He said, what zeal, what vehement desire, what revenge you had to do the will of God. He just praised them all day. You won't find that in Galatians. He just rinks them over the coals because they started to leave the truth of grace. It's a little bit more serious than what people think it is. It's a little bit more, just look, listen to me, message people. Just adding that our sister has to wear a dress and have her hair long to even get the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, is the doctrine of a devil.
Right.
If they believe, look, they could be cutting their hair all day, they can wear pants all the time. It's when they finally get the Holy Ghost, but don't tell me you're going to get the Holy Ghost and it not lead you to that.
Right.
That's the other side of the picture. If you really got it, it will lead you to the truth.
Yeah.
But praise God, I mean, my goodness, I've learned, I realized after I got the Holy Ghost, I didn't know anything. I didn't know nothing. I had a lot up here, but I had nothing that lived.
Right.
When the Holy Ghost came, then you start seeing things with the right eyes.
Yes.
It doesn't become, I have to do this or people are going to judge me. It's, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
And I know you're here. And I want to make you happy. And you know what? At the end of the day, I want to help my brother out.
Right.
I want to help my sister. I want to help my coworkers that are on their path to hell. And because I'm not living a consecrated life, I can't even testify of you.
Right.
How am I going to help them if I don't have a testimony myself? How can I say, let's get out of prison when I'm sitting in the cell with them?
Right.
You see how it becomes clear when God opens your eyes to the truth.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of men get tempted by women. Every man gets tempted by women, you understand. But a lot of men act like they can't overcome it. You know why? Because they enjoy it.
Right.
Because they see a pretty girl. They don't see with the eyes of the Spirit.
Right.
Millions of devils.
Yep.
Tormenting those girls.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Because it's vanity. Go read Ecclesiastes if you're looking for anything in this world, and you'll find out what vanity is.
Yep.
That's right, it's vain. They, you know, because all it takes is you put another 5-10 years on one of them girls,
yep,
it's gone.
Yeah.
They worked every day. They did this, they did that. They go get surgeries now. They, you know, makeup's not even enough. You got to laser something up.
Yeah.
And then in 5-10 years, you're as ugly as you ever were.
Yep.
So, well, if I just had more money, and then you'll go find a celebrity done wrecked their whole body because they did all that junk. And then we'll still try to pursue that. Don't do that. It's not that. God don't look at that. He looks at the hidden man of the heart.
Amen.
You know what? This is a great revelation. I'm going to bring this in and I'm going to go where I wanted to go here. The Bible tells a woman to adorn herself with modest apparel and not costly. He said because of the hidden man of the heart. Why does it tell a woman to have the hidden man? Because who is the hidden man? It's Jesus Christ. Telling you to walk as Jesus would want you to walk. Some sisters don't think they can because they're not a man. Jesus is a man, I'm a woman. But have him in you, he'll show you where to go.
Yes.
That's right. Praise the Lord. That was all free. Galatians 4 now. Listen here right at verse 8. How be it then? And right before this, he just goes through talking about we're heirs of God. We've received the adoption. God's given us the Holy Ghost. We were there for the foundation of the world. Brings all that through. And then he passed the pick up here. He says, how be it then? When you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. Listen to that. He said, you know God. But really what I want to emphasize is that God knew you.
Yes.
He said, just think, you know that now. You know God knew you before the foundation
right
of the world.
Yes.
He's about to say, then what in the world are you doing?
Right.
Listen. Or rather are known of God. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days, and months, and times, and years, and politicians, and football players,
right,
and fashions of the world. We could just go on and on and on and on.
Sure. Yeah.
There's some preachers who are politicians. I've listened to them on Facebook, and I'm about to delete them. Because they're all corrupt. Brother Branham said that 50 years ago. This nation's gone politically. There's nowhere to go.
Amen.
God sent his word and they turned it down. He said, now keep reading. He said, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestow it upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You're not injuring me in anything. You know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation was which is in my flesh. Ye despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus. Wherefore then is, where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. What is Paul trying to say here? He said, I've brought you the truth, and you received it to such an extent. You treated me like Jesus himself. You respected me as if God was standing here telling you this. But then the second I left, you got someone coming in saying we got to be circumcised again. And you just sucked it right down. Why are you turning back to the things that I told you? I gave them all up and counted them as dung to give you what I have received. Amen. If there's anybody who had a right to brag, it was Paul.
Yes.
There's anybody who lived a holy life, a clean life, but deep down he needed the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because he couldn't see. He was so deceived by his works, he was actually doing the work of the devil. He was going, killing the very people, putting them in prison, doing all kinds of evil to the people that were serving the God he thought he loved.
Amen.
Listed on Wednesday, one of those altars of ignorance. Building an altar to the devil, but he was doing it ignorantly, but still we're guilty. Because God has winked at ignorance for a long time, but now he's brought the light of the word.
Amen.
And exposed it. Every age he's done it to, God has never left his people blind. When Cain wanted to worship God, God met with Cain. The seed of the serpent himself. And said, won't you be accepted if you just do what your brother did?
Right.
If you'll just receive the revelation of grace.
Amen.
And he said, no, I've got to have a work involved. I've got to be a part of this. I've got to have something that at the end of the day, I can put on my gold star and say, look what I did. And as long as you have that attitude, you'll never have the victory of Christ. Paul had found these Galatians doing that, and he said, where is the blessedness you spake of?
Right.
Where's he recognized, you've been lying to me. You said you had the joy of the Lord. You said you believe this when I come here, and you're all in bondage.
Yep.
Can't hardly squeak an amen no more because you're all condemned from not being able to do the works that these whoever have told you to do. He said, they zealously affected you. What does that mean? They made you do something different. Sure. But he said, it's not good unless you're zealously affected toward a good thing.
Sure.
Hallelujah. And this is destroying all the labor. Just think of it. Paul himself, have I labored to you in vain? We think, man, if I just had this mighty ministry, everybody believe me. You're gonna stand up next to Paul and say that? It shows you, without the revelation of grace, it don't hold. There's no intellect. I don't care how many miracles. I don't care who showed up. If Brother Branham came back and preached right here, the same people would still be believing the message.
Yeah.
Why? Because it comes by grace.
Amen.
Amen. This got Brother Branham in trouble as well. Let me read you this. Sirs, is this the time? 1962. Are you still with me today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I said, you know what it is, Tommy? He says, the Greater Chicago Ministerial Association is going to challenge me on the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Most of us remember that they would challenge him on the baptism in Jesus Christ's name, the whole ministerial group. But look at all the things they would challenge him on. He said, the Greater Chicago Ministerial Association is going to challenge me on the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Sure, speaking in tongues. They're going to challenge me on the serpent seed. We're all like, well, yeah, I've heard that. The last part he says, and on the preaching of grace. That they're going to challenge him on the preaching of grace. What are you doing telling people that, you know, if they don't pay tithes, you know, they need to pay tithes here or they're not saved. What are you doing? We need that. We need that money or we can't. Now, you ought to pay your tithes. You understand that. But to say that that's a means of salvation is, again, legalism, and you ain't going to get in with that. If you pay your tithes because you have to, you ain't paying tithes.
That's right.
You're not. You're giving them, but you ain't paying them because God requires a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
It should be a joy to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Branham got in trouble for this because they recognized what he was saying. It is radical grace. It is not because I spoke in tongues, not because I did this work, not because I joined your church, not because I didn't join the church. I'm saved because God chose me.
Amen.
You don't have to like me. I don't care. I don't need anybody else to choose me. I don't need 10,000 people to say I'm saved, to recognize I'm saved. If God has declared in my life that I'm saved, If God's declared in my life the Holy Ghost. Now, let me read. I'm gonna preach probably a whole sermon on this. But Brother Branham says this statement. That's been misinterpreted another 1,000 times. But he said the one of the mysteries of this end time was receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. And we've done message that all right up, didn't we? Well, one time, there was an altar call. And I'm living in sin and everything else, so I never really changed my life or anything. But I raised my hand one time, and I received it. See? I didn't have a sensation, but I got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And then you watch your life, and you look the same as you always did. If you've been born again, you should not be who you were before.
Amen.
If you actually finish the quote, Brother Branham says, he says, one of the mysteries is the Holy Ghost without sensation, but the person of Christ in you doing the same things that he did.
Exactly.
So, sure, you didn't feel chill bump, you didn't feel goosebumps, you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't have a lightning bolt come in the room. But if that life literally can still live through you like it did through Jesus Christ, I believe you're converted. Amen. That's the line that God gave. How can I have that, brother? How can I see the greater works? Quit doing the greater works and realize He's the one that does the greater works. And He is not off in the clouds. He's in me. The Holy Ghost is Christ in me. The hope of glory. The hope that one day I'll be just like Him.
Amen.
Not even. And look, right now I am in the Spirit, but one day I'll drop this.
Amen.
And I'll have a body just like His.
Amen.
Glory to God. Why would we take grace and contaminate it with anything else?
Right. Sure.
Amen. They did this to Jesus. They tested Jesus on His radical grace. They brought a woman caught in adultery, threw her right in the front of Him. Said, you really think you believe this grace? You really think you're going to change our whole program here? The law of Moses said stone her.
Sure.
And we don't know what he wrote, but it says he got down and he was writing. And I'm not sure what he wrote down. But anyways, they kept talking. He acted like he never even heard him. Then he got up, and he looked up at him. Actually, he was still writing. He looks at him and says, you without sin cast the first stone. And went back to writing. And the Bible says very specifically, starting at the oldest, down to the youngest, their own conscience began to tell them, I have sinned just like they do. Drop the stone. Drop the stone. Drop the stone. Drop the stone. Too many message people still got the stones. And as long as you're a little bit lower than them, you can get stoned. But if you deal with my problems, oh, we're okay. We're chums. We deal with the same thing. We backslid the same way. We're okay. Drop the stone. That's right. Because if the grace of God don't come to you, you ain't going to be saved.
That's right.
Amen. But look, let's finish what Jesus told her. And I'm going to finish it on this thought here. What did Jesus tell the woman? The Bible didn't even say He looked at her. It said, woman, where are your accusers? He said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. It's funny how we just go ahead and crop that part right out and just push it to the side and say, see, don't judge her. Let's keep it balanced. She was still an adulterer. It was still wrong. But what got her delivered? Works or grace? The works would have killed her. Works would have stoned her. There'd have been a pile of stones where she was.
Right.
There'd been no Mary Magdalene, nowhere to be found. There'd been no testimony of seven devils getting cast out.
Right.
There'd been nothing. But grace showed up.
Yes.
And if grace shows up, look, you don't stay an adulterer. Right. You don't stay in the world. You don't still smoke and drink and act like them and cuss and swear. And no, your appetites have changed.
Yes.
Go and sin no more.
Amen.
Grace isn't disgrace. Grace glorifies God because it brings real deliverance.
Hallelujah.
It brings a real, it takes the bondage away because instead of trying to fix that one little time, it literally grabs all the way down in your heart. It rips the thing out and God takes His healing touch and heals where it was.
Amen.
Fills it with His presence. You don't even desire it anymore.
Amen.
Then you don't need to pass your phone around to make sure you don't do it again.
Right.
Because you recognize He's around. And He's my Lord. He's my husband. He's my Savior. He's everything to me.
Amen.
Because there are, as like I said, I'm closing. Jude 1:4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, which is a license to sin. They've taken the grace of God. This is the other end where you push it so far that it's okay to stay an adulterer. And if anybody judges you, they're just mean. They're not really Christians. Like I said, many people want to tell Jesus how to be a Christian. That's our whole age in this now. If you say something's wrong, you're judging.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm judging the sin.
Right.
Just like I had a kid the other day. He had swore in the hallway, and one of the teachers gave him a detention. And he said, "Well, I don't understand why I'm getting in trouble. I see all kinds of kids swearing in the hallways all the time. Why am I getting in trouble for it?" I'm like, that's kind of like saying, "Well, I know I murdered that guy, but people get murdered every day and get away with it. Why are you getting on me?" Well, you got caught, son.
Right.
Here's the difference, though. Everyone got caught.
Amen.
Everyone got caught in this court. You didn't hide nowhere. God knows what sins you've done.
That's right.
And instead of making up excuses, recognize, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as guilty can be. If you never get a revelation that you're a sinner, you'll never get a revelation that you can become a saint.
Amen.
That's right. You can't be a half sinner. You'll just become a half saint, which ain't a saint at all.
Right.
You got to be a full sinner and get full deliverance by full grace. Then you become a full believer.
Amen.
That'll keep you from being one of these that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Right.
That, look, if somebody says something about, look, I didn't tell you to tell that woman it's okay to cut her hair, because it ain't.
Right.
It's not okay. But how are you going to get her to stop cutting it? Glory to God. Works won't do it. Grace will.
Amen.
Amen. A little love goes a long way.
Yeah.
Amen. Love, as the Bible said, covers a multitude of sin. And we think that means cover it up as we don't talk about it. No, it gets rid of it.
Amen.
Because the love expressed makes people want to love back.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then you don't have, like I said, force them and cattle prod people and get them, come on, let's be a Christian, let's be a Christian. Because they want to serve the Lord.
Sure.
And look, I have to bring this home because I'm one too. Us parents sometimes have to be careful about that.
Yeah.
Come on, you know, we've got to do this. Yeah, you should lead your children the right way. Teach them the admonition of the Lord. Yeah. But you got to recognize we can't convert them.
Right.
We can claim the promise. We hold it before the Father. God has promised to give it to us. He said, "Your house, thy and thy house shall be saved." Amen.
Amen.
Believe it with all your heart.
Exactly.
But God has to do the work.
Amen.
And that'll come by the grace of God. Let me finish a few quotes and I'm seriously going to be done. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, 1958. It says, "Oh my, St. John 5:24. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life, shall never come to the judgment, but pass from death unto life." That's why this church believes in the security or the perseverance of the saints. Not in the Baptist form, not in the Presbyterian form, but in the Bible form. Well, you say, "Now, Brother Branham, I guess, once in grace, always in grace." That brings a lot of disgrace.
Sure.
"Well, I received it, and I can just do whatever I want." Well, that'll bring a lot of disgrace. That's right. He says, "But when a man or a woman has been born of the Spirit of God, old things have passed away. All things become new, and he's been birthed and blessed by the eternal God, and they can no more perish than God can perish." Amen. Look, see, that's when you recognize you've really received grace. No, you're not. You're not just making excuses for this or that. Look at the power of actually knowing it. I'm as eternal as God is. I'm literally a part of him. Why would you want to be anything less than that? Hallelujah.
Sure.
Do you mean to tell me that a God, an infinite God, would come down, give you eternal life, knowing that he was going to lose you, save you here, knowing he's going to lose you there? What did he save you for?
Right.
Why? He's working against himself.
Sure.
If he saved you once, you are saved for all eternity.
Amen.
That's right. There's no demons in hell could upset you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Proof's in the pudding right here. Shame, 1965. And any disciple of Christ who has come in contact with him in redemption and salvation has come into his heart. He is the possessor of God. What kind of a life should we live? And how should we walk? And how should we talk? If God is representing himself through our own mortal bodies, who could be ashamed of that?
Amen.
That's where you begin to realize, do I really got it or not? If you get ashamed from being a Christian, if you can't, if you have to be one person here and a different person here, something's wrong. If you have to, you know, kind of put your Christianity on when you go to church and then you kind of take it off later.
Right.
And then, like I said, the pastor comes around, all of a sudden we'll put one on, and we'll take it off. And then Brother Bram said, you live your best and your worst at home.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And God knows all about it anyways. Amen. We might as well just be up front with him.
Right.
Brother, how are we going to make this? How are we going to do this, Grace? The grace of God. Recognizing God has chosen me. As Brother Branham said in The Rising of the Sun, I just absolutely love this quote. He says, now you don't say, well, I hope I make it. You've already made it.
Amen.
Not, I will make it. I've already made it.
Yes.
I never made it. He made it for me.
Amen.
See, not me, him.
Amen.
Well, Brother Branham, they say, I don't care what they say. There, he's talking the cross. There, he made it for me. That's all I want, all I'm caring about. Can you say amen? Let's stand together before him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Dad, give me an F as we worship the Lord this afternoon. Let's let go and let God. Let go and let God have 507.
His wonderful
way. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Let go and let God have His way.
Sing with all your heart now. Your sorrow will vanish.
Your sorrow will vanish.
Your night turned to day.
Your night turned
your eyes, think on Jesus now.
Let go.
Don't think of your trials. Don't think of yourself. Hallelujah. Think of the one that spoke to you today. Thank you, Jesus.
Let go and let God have His way.
One more time, all together now. Sing it with all your heart.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way.
Oh, think on it now. Yes, Lord.
Your son. Turn today. Let go and let God have His way.
Dad, keep playing. Let's bow our heads before Him. Every head bowed. And I trust you bow your heart before the Lord as well. Hallelujah. Cutting strong, but it was the truth this afternoon. Thank you, Lord. Now, wherever you find yourself, don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about your trials. Don't bring an excuse before God now. Get down to who you are in your heart. Where do you find yourself? Are you a believer that's just caged up this afternoon? The devil's put you back in something you were in the world. He's got you thinking, you're just servant seat anyways. You might as well quit. If that's you, don't believe him. You got any desire, God bless you, brother. You got any desire in your heart, God bless you, brother. Say, why? You say that. They're raising their hands saying, Lord, I surrender that to you. Lord, that's what was in me, but Lord, I surrendered it. Bless you, brother. Say, Lord, I believe in my heart. I believe this word. I'm a Christian. Lord, deliver me tonight. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. If you've never received the grace of God, say, Lord, I'd like to, though. I want to be a real Christian. I don't want to fake it. I don't want to feel like I'm forcing it. Lord, I want something to happen on the inside that I know I've really received new life. I don't want to become a legalist like everyone else and just do what people tell me to do. I want to follow Christ because I'm a Christian. Is there anyone that say, Lord, that's me? And I raise my hand. Don't look around, please. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. Leave it before Him now. Don't back down. Don't back down. Say, Lord, that's my promise. I don't have to stay this way. The devil's lied to me long enough. Lord, I've been back and forth, up and down. I'm here to serve you. Tired of the devil getting glory out of my life. Tired of being bound by the enemy. And I want God to be glorified. God bless you, brother, sister. I love seeing honest hearts. I love seeing people that get right. It's the only thing that'll ever help you. Sis, are you living in vanity? Are you trying to be the prettiest thing in the world? Are you trying to live for this life? Don't do it. Don't do it. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, that one pretty girl, that lustful girl, will send more people to hell than every barroom in the country. Don't do that, sis. Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman in lust, he's already committed adultery with her. Don't do that. And how the devil's come in and he's starting to corrupt girls all the way down to, I don't even know, out of birth almost. Putting earrings on them, wearing makeup 2 years old, skinny dresses, sex appeal. Don't do it, sister. When you cover yourself up modestly, you're protecting. You know what you're revealing? You're revealing that you've got integrity. You're revealing that you're a real prize for a man one day. One of these striptease, they're no good, and they know it. That's why they're living vanity. Hallelujah. Don't live like that. Don't pat after some worldly thing. Brothers, you too. Don't get on some rabbit trail in the world. Whatever the devil, it's just an idol. One thing we should all seek for is Jesus Christ. An honest spirit, a humble spirit. Lord, that I want to really serve. God bless you, brother, sister. Look, this is wonderful. It might not seem like a lot, but you know the presence of God is here. See, he's not as big and boastful as everybody makes him. He's humble. He moves on the heart. He gets you to do things that no man can do. I can't make you break down and cry and get right with God. That's him pulling you. Not of works that any man would boast, but that the election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calls us. And if you can hear Jesus' voice calling you, saying, it's not Brother Andrew that did this today. This was the Lord pulling on my heart. That's when you'll get real results. That's when people really get the Holy Ghost. Receive it. Receive it. God bless you, brother. See more hands going up. God bless you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. One soul's worth more than 10,000 worlds. Thank you, Jesus. If you just need a refreshing from the presence of God, would you raise your hands to him and say, Lord, I need it again in me. I need something. I don't want just a feeling, Lord. I want something that goes with me. And Lord, when the devil, look, he's going to come, brother, sister. Don't let him lie. He's going to attack you. But you've got someone in you if you've got the Holy Ghost. You've got Jesus Christ in you that can fight off those things, that can keep you pure. God bless you, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Say, what do I do now, brother? I've raised my hands. I've surrendered it. What do I do? Start thanking him. Start giving him your life. Start pouring out your heart to him. That's when you know that you're not worried about somebody else, when a man or woman just lays it out on the line. Say, Lord, you know all about me. Lord, I believe your grace has come to me today. I don't have to stay this way. Lord, by your grace, I'm leaving a different person. I'm going to lay down who I am. Lord, I'm going to pick up by faith Jesus Christ in my life. God bless you, brother, sister. Worship in your own way. Talk to him like you would your friend. Don't make it religious. That's why you don't get nowhere. Talk to him as if you're in a room. He's right across the room. You're only two chairs there. What are you going to tell him? I trust you're a Christian, Lord. I love you. Lord, I'm not worthy to be a servant in your house. I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm your son. I'll go to the gallows. I'll go to the slime pits. That's fine. But Lord, I just want to be with you. Remember what the father told the prodigal son? He said, what are you talking about? Come here. Put on this robe, which was the Holy Ghost. Put on this ring, the seal of my... Oh, hallelujah. Keep pressing, sis. Thank the Lord. That's deliverance. That's deliverance. Just pour it out on there. Hallelujah. Tears are more glorious than shouting sometimes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Said, this isn't just anybody, this is my son. I bring you back, son. Come back up here in my house. Live with me. Praise God. Praise God. Believe it with all your heart as we stay in this atmosphere of worship. I'm going to invite those that would want prayer this afternoon. If you'd like to come forward for prayer. Now the rest, if you don't, just stay there and worship Him. Thank Him for what He's done for you this afternoon. Thank you for how He spoke to you. Thank you, Jesus. Worship Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Think of these that are coming forward. Say, Lord, I believe with them. How these little ones tend to humble all of us so many times. Begin to recognize how proud we really are. We won't ask God for nothing, Harley. We're too stuck up about it. You can receive it right there, but if you don't receive it, come. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't be ashamed. Don't leave this place with your need. Christ is here today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost the same as He was when He was on earth. I'm telling you that now, and you are. Don't doubt it. The same deliverance that took an adulterous woman who had lived a prostitute her whole life made her into one of the greatest saints that we talk about today. Hallelujah. Church kick you out, don't worry. As long as you get kicked into Christ, take it. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray with these. Keep coming. Don't leave your needs there. Get them today. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for Justin. His tummy's hurting him, Lord, but he believes you, that you're a healer. Lord, you said if we lay hands on the sick, they would recover. We pray this healing on my brother now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray for Noah. He's got a tooth that's not coming out, but I pray, Lord, that you'll come. Let it come out, Lord, and there be no infections or anything bad happen from it. Be glorified, Lord, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Jesus Christ. Lord, we cast this doubt, fear, and all this away in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blood, Lord, and believe, Lord, and forgive my brother for things he's done. He doesn't hold on to it, but Lord, may that full revelation strike. May the devil never be able to talk him out of it again. May he serve you with all his heart, with all the love that he can. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. For this soul that's come forward this afternoon. I said if we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, Lord. And this is a sickness down to the soul, Lord. She wants to be free. She doesn't want to stay in the back of the condition. She wants to love you with all her heart, Lord. And we pray as a body of believers, Lord, that you restore this soul to fellowship again. As Satan be defeated on every side and you be glorified in your life, we pray. Grant it, Lord, as we ask in that name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Believe with all your heart now, sis. Thank you, Lord. Receive what you have in your life. Oh, praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yield yourself to the Spirit now. Say, Lord, what do you want me to think? What do you want me to do, Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, believe it with all your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Coming. their heart. Say, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. And open wide thine arms of love. By faith, Lord, I'm coming to grace, Lord. I'm coming to the throne of grace this afternoon. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come in. Oh, come in. Oh, nevermore. Glory to God. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done today. And open wide thine arms. Oh, just close your eyes and see him this afternoon. And Lord, I just want to be in your bosom. I just want to be in your arms. Never to go anywhere else, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come in. Sing it like you're free this afternoon.
Come in, oh,
have faith,
nevermore for to roam.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And open wide thine arms of love.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm coming. Oh.
Let's sing it one last time without music, all together now.
Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to
worship him your own way. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord, and restoring us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for calling souls and healing the sick. Thank you so much, Lord, for refreshing all of us, Lord, with your presence. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name, Lord. Oh, do you love him with all that's in you? Does he mean everything to you? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You just love his presence this afternoon. Where else would you want to be than the presence of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. Now believe it with all your heart. I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for speaking to me, Lord. Thank you for being such a good God. Hallelujah. How many believes he's good this afternoon? Even when he's got to whip me, Lord, you're still good. It's still better than what I was doing. You know, we think it's bad. I want to sing it. God is so good. That's an F, I think, man. But you think, you know, oh my, it's so hard. Lord, it's just chasing me all the time, keeping me away from this and that. I watched a picture one time perfectly describing it. Guy said, I'm tired of this fence. I'm getting out of here. Tired of God caging me in all the time. And he says, wait. And he jumps over. He said, that wasn't a fence. That was a guardrail. That's about how we do it. You ain't being fenced in. You're being looked up. Amen. Don't look around this way. Sure, there's world on every side. You can't hardly go nowhere without sin being there. Just look up one time. You've got an eternity to look forward to. Praise the Lord. So we'll sing this. I guess I'll let you be dismissed. If you want to stay in worship, I'm going to stay a little bit in worship here. But I thank God for having His way. Can we just thank Him? Can we praise Him together? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him with your heart. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So if you need to be dismissed, you can be dismissed now, but let's stay in worship.
It's over, God. It's so good.
Thank you, Lord.
It's so good to me.
God is so good.
God is so good. God is.
Give Him praise now. Hallelujah. Sing to Him.
Oh, God is so good.
Play your heart out.
He's so good.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And He answers prayer.
He answers prayer.
Hear yours today.
Oh, He answers prayer.
Don't ever doubt Him.
He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
Sing with all your heart. I love Him so.
And I love Him so.
Yes, Lord. Yes, I do. Glory.
I love
Him. You mean everything, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
I love Him so. He's so good to me.
Sing that again. Thank you, Lord.
And I love Him so.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I love Him so.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love Him so. He's so.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And He's coming soon. Aren't you happy?
Oh, He's
and take us home with Him. Thank you, Jesus.
He's coming soon.
I'm ready, Lord.
Oh, He's coming soon. He's so good to me.
God is so good. Sing it again.
And God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace.
Lord, just praise You, Father.
I got peace like a river in my soul. Oh, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river.
I got love like a fountain.
I got love like a fountain. I've got love like a fountain. I've got love like a fountain in my soul. I've got love like a fountain. I've got love like a fountain. I've got love like a fountain.
Oh, sing it again, give Him praise. Yes, Lord,
I got love like a fountain. I've got love like a fountain. I've got love, fountain in my soul, I've got love. Fountain, I've got love. Fountain, I've got love. Like a fountain, I got joy like an ocean. I've got joy like an ocean. I've got joy like an ocean. I've got joy like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like an ocean. I've got joy like an ocean. I've got joy like an ocean in my soul. Peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to try something.